Let us all say amen and want to thank God for another opportunity that he has given unto us to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to thank those brothers who have gone before me in the order of service in our worship to our God. I'm excited to be before you and thankful again, as I said, to be able to share with you from the Word of God. I first like to extend an invitation, as always, now to those that may not be Christians, that may be worshiping with us on this afternoon. You may have been invited by someone. Four points I want to make to you specifically. In the Bible, in Jeremiah 10 and the verses number 23, Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Jeremiah realized that man was not to lead himself. And then Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus made for us spiritually what should be the prioritization in our lives when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So one, if you are on the call this afternoon, want to encourage you to seek the kingdom of God. And then Jesus talked about how one can be a part of that kingdom when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And the verse is number 3, excuse me. When Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, and that's spiritually, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the thing that Jesus said to seek, one must be born spiritually in order to see it, that which he was to see. And then when Luke penned the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, on the first worship service after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord, Luke penned, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If someone is going to be saved, they would have to be added to the church. And the church is that kingdom of God that Jesus said one should see. And in the New Testament, we find that descriptive phrase is the church of Christ. So I want to welcome those that are on the call this afternoon that worship with us, and I will share with you at the close of the message how one become a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. I want to offer to those that were with us on this morning, thank Brother Brooks again for the message on this morning. And his scripture for this morning, he gave us Acts chapter 9 and verse number 31. I want to just revisit that because I want those that are studious to see the connection that you may hear Brother Brooks preach in the morning, may hear me preach in the afternoon, and oftentimes there is a direct correlation on the subjects. And so this morning, Brother Brooks shared his title was from Acts 9:31, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And so he talked about those things of walking in the Lord and in the fear of the Lord and what it actually means. And in Colossians, he gave a scripture this morning that I'll ask you to visit. In Colossians 1:10, the Bible says that you may walk worthy. So he talked about the walk or how you live. He said, worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. In other words, one as a Christian walk ought to be to please the Lord. He said, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so in that text, not only am I to walk to please God, but he said, being fruitful in every good work. And if those of us that know about fruit that comes from trees, fruit is what produced from the tree. And so when we walk worthy of the Lord and please the Lord, we're going to be fruitful. It's going to produce good works. And then he says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You have to increase, and I'll show that in my text, one's knowledge of God. And then as I looked at, revisited Colossians, I found that in verse number 28 of Colossians chapter 1, in verse 28, is a direct statement to myself and Brother Brooks, where the Bible says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It's Brother Brooks and our responsibility for those that assemble with us at Highland Heights, that we are to admonish you. He says, every man, and teaching every man in the wisdom that is found in the Bible. Why? That we may present every man may stand, and woman may stand before God. The word perfect here means mature or complete in Christ Jesus. So the preaching of the word of God is to mature you and to grow you. And as Paul said to the Romans in chapter 1 and verse 14, I try to preach, as Paul said in Romans 1:14, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So when I preach the word of God, I try to do according to my ability to preach to those that everyone can understand from the word of God. And so I want to show you, as you'll see today, that it is knowledge of the word of God that helps us in this walk. In 1 Peter chapter 5, as we are moving toward the close of this letter that Peter wrote to Christians, I would like to, the scripture that was read in our hearing was verse 8, but for the sake of comfort, I would still like to remind us of 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, where Peter wrote to those Christians. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I want to say to all those that are Christian, what Peter was telling them was to leave or deposit all your care, those things that cause you to worry, those things that you may be afraid about what's going to happen. Peter was encouraging them to leave them with God, leave them with God. And he told them the reason: for God careth for you. We are the object of God's love. God cares for us. And so what Peter was saying to them is simply give those worries and those troubles to the Lord and allow the Lord to work through those that walk upon the earth to help us in those areas. So I want to just say that, because I know I hear that those that are asking a prayer request, and I want to just encourage you that give it to God. And that's why we ask for others to pray for us. And I think, as Brother Williams encouraged those that want to offer up prayer, share those things, because sometimes, especially because of us being not assembling now, we may not know what goes on in the lives of others. And I want to thank those Christians that are visiting those, our seniors and others, and aiding them and caring for them and just caring for them. I want to encourage you to continue to do those things, because I know it's helpful to those that are receiving the care. And I want to say personally to those that have offered encouragement to me, be it text, be it group me, I want to thank you because I understand my responsibility as Paul told the Colossians that I'm trying to warn, admonish you, and also to teach you God's word that you may understand and be able to apply it to your life. So let's look at our lesson on this afternoon. I hope you're excited about it because I am. The subject title, Your Adversary, the Devil, as a Roaring Lion. That's what Peter said about the devil. I want to say that the Apostle Peter, in this one verse, writes about the greatest enemy to the human race. There's no greater enemy to the human race than the devil. Many will lose their souls, will not make heaven their home, and the devil, as I will show you in the Word of God, is the culprit. That's his job, and he's going to stay on his job. He's not going to give up until the Lord makes an end for him. And so, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, two things Peter said. He says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We're going to open up that text. But he begins by admonishing the Christian two things. He says, be sober. When you study that word, the word sober in the text simply means to be free from the influence of intoxicants, such as alcoholic drinks, or an intoxicating substance, such as unlawful drugs, as we can experience in our lifetime. So Peter says, one, you have to be sober. Your mind has to be clear. Then he says, be vigilant. That word talks about spiritual alertness, of being alert, able to think clearly, and to, you have to be able to notice what around you. The word means to be watchful. As a Christian, I'm to pay careful attention, especially to things that may be dangerous to me. And our young people, I think Brother Whitaker, oftentimes he pray for our young folk. And I'm saying to them, and even to us, that you have to learn to avoid danger. That's what he means by being vigilant, being watchful, being mindful that you're not in the wrong place at the wrong time, because bad things can happen when you are not where you ought to be oftentimes. And I say this to our young folks, those that are in school and those that are at home, whenever, young people, whenever you are in a area or place and there is no supervision, be careful where you are. Because when you're at home, your parents ought to be those that supervisory over you. When you're at school, you have teachers and others that are supervise and monitor you, as we talked about. One of the responsibilities, those that are elders, are to watch over. And so when you are in an area where no one can supervise you, no adults are there to watch you, be careful, because you may be in a place that may be dangerous to you. Just want to put that out to our young folk. Be mindful. You should be somewhere where they're supervisory. Even in the church, when we send our young people to activities, we always have chaperones. You want an adult there, a spiritual adult there, that they can monitor and guide them properly. And so Peter says, you have an adversary. What is an adversary? An adversary is someone who attacks and tries to harm. So Peter says, the devil is that adversary. He is that adversary. And he says, as a roaring lion. You know, lions oftentimes roar in order to bring fear in those whom they are trying to catch. Because Peter says, notice this, the devil is seeking to whom he may devour, are trying to swallow you up. And I want to say to those of us that are Christians, be mindful that you don't allow the devil to put fear in you. Because in Matthew chapter 25, I want to show you where Jesus talks about the devil can cause one to have fear. Where in Matthew 25 and verse 24, Jesus, in talking about servants with the three various talents, in verse 24 of chapter 25, he said, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And notice God's, Jesus' response to him that was afraid. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and thoughtful servant. Whenever we are afraid, the devil oftentimes put fear in those of us that are Christians. We ought not be, because God has not given us that spirit. Paul told Timothy that is not something that God has given us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul, in writing his second letter to Timothy, said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But I want to let us know that the devil can cause all of us to become afraid, but that's why the Bible says that we are not to be fearful. We can't live our lives. That's why he says, when you have worries, when you have things that may cause you to be afraid, give them to God. Let God deal with them. And so Peter says, he's trying to devour us as a roaring lion. A lion roars to bring fear in those whom he is chasing, those whom he's trying to kill. And the devil wants to kill all of us. So I want to, in looking at this, the devil, I want to first look at the devil using the five W's of journalism as I was taught when I was in school. And I also want to give what is the biblical truth on a 411 on the devil. Those five W's are the who, what, when, where, and why. Those things about the devil. I want us to meet me in Revelations chapter 12. It was only one. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. I want to give us the who, what, when, where, and why, and then I want to show us the how. But in Revelation chapter 12, and the verse is number 7, we'll find that the Bible says, and there was a war in heaven. That's the wind. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither were their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old, now notice, you got three terms with me, that old, he called him first a serpent, you'll see that again, called the devil, Peter referred to him, and Satan. Then he tells us his purpose, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. That's the where. And his angels were cast out with him. So when we look at that old serpent, the devil, Satan is simply one of the names. There is only one devil, and Satan is one of the names that is used. He is the enemy, the evil enemy of God and man. And his purpose is to cause you harm along with physical and emotional hurt. He is a slanderer. I'll show that. Because of the false statements that he makes. When you look at the word devil, when you look at the word Satan and serpent, he's talking about who he is and what he is. Notice the Bible says he was cast out and his angels were cast out with him. The Bible says, and I heard a loud voice, John said, saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For, watch this now, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God, and he does it day and night. I want to show us that the devil, that's part of the word devil, means he's an accuser. He accuses us before God day and night. And not only that, I want to show you how he accuses man before God, to God, then he accuses God to man. We'll find that in the Word of God. I want us to understand the word accuser simply means to blame someone for something wrong. The devil wants to blame us. He wants to make us responsible. That's his job, and he does it day and night, accusing before God. Let's first look at the devil accusing man to God in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 in the Old Testament. Read the Word of God. The Bible says in Job chapter 1 and the verses number 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, where comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from, notice, walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschew evil. And so what God was saying, that Job was a mature man. Job was a mature man. And he walked upright before the Lord. He feareth God. Brother Brooks said that this morning. One that feareth God. We ought to walk and feareth God. Have a respect for God. Certain things that as a Christian I won't do. Why? Because I have reverence for God. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, do it, Job, fear God for not? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But Job is saying, the reason that Job respects you and reverence you, is it not for not? You blessing him. You are giving him the thing. You put a protection around him and his house. And on him on every side, you bless the work of his hand. His substance is increasing in the land. Job now is an accused man to God. He said, but put forth thy hand now and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face. Here, the devil accused Job of only being faithful because he is being blessed by God. And I want to say to those of us that are Christians, because we went through a year that it may appear in your eyesight that God is not there to protect you, but we read already in 1 Peter 3:12 where Peter said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Yeah. And his ears are open unto their prayer, 1 Peter 3:12. So you ought to know that's not true. But what the devil was trying to accuse Job of only serving God because God has blessed him. And hopefully we'll grow in our walk with the Lord that we're not just faithful to God when things are going well. You are faithful to God even when you may not be doing well. If I'm healthy enough when we assemble the assembly and worship service, I will be there. If I'm healthy enough to do those things in my ministry, I will do that. It's not only when I am blessed that I serve God. But so he accused Job before God. He did that. He did that. And so understand this. When you are living, the devil is accusing. He's going up and down, to and fro in the earth. And you notice as the Bible says in Revelation, he before God, night and day, night and day, he's accusing us. He said, our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So that's the devil's job, is to accuse us, to tell us, God, that we've done this and we've done that. And so that's one way. And then secondly, the devil accuses God to man. Meet me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, now the serpent, remember, Revelation is calling an old serpent, the devil, and Satan. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Notice the false statement. That's why he's a slanderer, because the devil makes false statements. That's a false statement. She knew what God said, but now watch how the devil now accuses God before his people. He said, for God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Understand this here. We ought to know what God wants us to know, because God had told them in Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so notice the devil now works on us, and I want to show us as we get into the text but deeper how he works. And so the Bible says, and when the woman saw, notice the three things, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She listened to the devil. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so they sinned before God, and they died spiritually on that day. And I want us to see knowing what to do and then doing what you know is one of the most difficult things for the Christian. Knowing what to do and then doing what you know is difficult, and I'll show you how. Let me say this. When we go beyond what is proper in the sight of God, it becomes sinful. They went beyond what God had shared, what was proper in the eyesight of God. They went beyond that. That's how they sinned. So how does the devil attack and cause harm? Look, as John wrote, wrote in Revelation, look in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and the verse is number 16. We'll see how those things that were able to cause Eve to fall. Notice in verse 16, for all that is in the world, and that world here is the world of evil, for all that is in the world of evil, the lust of the flesh. Remember, she saw the food, and the Bible says it was good for food. That was the desire of the flesh. And the lust of the eye, the Bible said it was pleasant to her eyes. And the pride of life came in when the devil said with her, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Whenever we want to be more than God wants us to be, that's the pride of life. He said, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So three avenues that the devil attacks man at, and he causes us harm. Yeah, and as Brother Brooks shared this morning, look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll see, because Brother Brooks shared this morning how one ought to walk. But also in Galatians 5 and 16, Paul said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice in verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh have works, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, and drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Those things that the devil, and I want us to understand that when we talk about the flesh, that is areas in our mind from which worldly or evil desires dwell, and we all have them. I'm talking about now looking at those things where the Bible says they that are after the flesh in Romans 8:5. So we have those, some of us have worldly, fleshly desires that are evil, that dwell in us. And then the lust of the eye is bad desires that are awakened through the attraction of objects in our sight, something you see. So sometimes the devil puts things in your eyesight, and you desire those things that are not in keeping with the will of God. And then the pride of life is when a person wants to feel that you're more better than you are. You remember, with Adam and Eve with Eve, that when the devil said it will make you wise, when you want to be more than God wants you to be, then that is the pride of life. That's sinful. And so we have to understand, as John said in 1 John 2:16, it is not of the Father, it is of the world. And so let us look at one case study of how the devil worked in the lives of mankind. Meet me at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Give a practical example of how the devil works in the lives of us and each of us, and how he works. I want us to understand how the devil works in the lives of us. In John chapter 12, in verse number 1, the Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, or fragrance. It was very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor. Remember, I told you it was the fragrance of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? God knew, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. And so when we expose ourselves of those things that we desire in the devil, I'll share this, how the devil works in the life of a Christian. The Bible says, then he said, verse 6, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So when we expose ourselves to the devil and he's going to and fro, up and down, he's watching us. He's watching our behavior. Simon exposed himself that he was covetous. He was greedy. He was a thief. So now, notice in John 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, even Judas. Now watch this. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. One primary objective of the devil is to place evil thoughts and suggestions into the heart of a person and to have them to do those things. The devil works that way. The devil's job, and he's on his job, when Judas exposed himself that he was a thief, he had no concern for the poor. He had the money. He was a thief. And remember, this same Judas sold Jesus out. And Jesus didn't just know that in John chapter 12. Go back to John chapter 6 and verse number 70. John 6 and 70. Jesus knew this long before then. Notice what the Bible said. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Understand, when God knew that, Jesus knew that. And once we expose ourselves of those fleshly desires that all of us have, that is not in keeping with the will of God, that those desires, if they are an attraction to you, if they're something that you desire, the devil works through those things. Let me show you as I move toward a close how that works. Look in Romans chapter 7. Brother Brooks talked about how we are to be influenced by and guided by the Holy Spirit, meaning the Word of God. Well, in Romans chapter 7, and the verse is number 21, notice what Paul wrote, showing the connection between Paul and Peter. Paul said, I find then a law that when I would do good, notice now, evil is present in me. There is a law that, and remember, laws I've said before, laws are simply designed to influence behavior. So he said in verse 23, but I see another law. He saw in verse 22, he said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the law of our mind. He said, but I see another law. The law of God is, we'll talk about that next Lord's Day, if the Lord say the same. There is a law of God that we have in our mind that influences us. But he said, but I see another law in my members. It's warring against the law of my mind. The law of my mind is when I put the Word of God. That's why Brother Brooks said this morning in Colossians 1 and 10 that we ought to increase in the knowledge of God. That's the law of my mind. He said, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. See, what the devil wants to do is bring you under control when he understands that you will are attracted. You'll have fleshly desires as Eve had, that you allow that part of you, that in you, that evilness that Paul said, that evil is present in me. All of us have desires in us that are evil, that are bad, that are not in keeping with the will of God. It is called the law of sin. Peter Paul says, which is in my members. One of the goals of the devil is to influence behaviors that oppose the will of God. He did it with Eve, and Eve got her husband to follow it. Then he did it with Judas, and he's done it with each of us. And so when we learn that we have an adversary, the devil, he's a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may swallow us up. His goal is to take as many people with him, that eternal place of suffering. And I want to share with us as I close on this afternoon that hopefully I've shared from the Word of God how the devil wants to accuse us before God, and he wants to accuse God to us. And then how he attacks us. He gets in there. He gives us suggestions. I want to say to each Christian, when you have thoughts that are not in keeping with the will of God, you are to kick those thoughts out. But I want to say this. The only way you can consistently do that, you have to have a knowledge of the will of God. That means you have to study your Bible. That means you have to listen to the Word of God. Preach Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. Study the Word of God every day. Go to Bible class. That's how you increase. That's how you fight the devil. We'll talk about that on next Sunday if the Lord says the same. If you're here today and you're on the call and you're not a Christian, how does one become a Christian? We'll go back to Peter's letter. In 1 Peter 3:18, Peter talks about how one obey what is referred to in other places as the gospel of Christ, and that he says how for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That's referred to as the gospel of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, where Christ suffered for us on the cross. He died on that cross. They buried him. He rose again the third day. The Holy Spirit got him up. And so one must hear that message. You must believe that. You must repent of your sins. You must turn to God. Then you must confess what you believe in your heart. According to Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you have to be water baptized. Peter said that in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. He says, wherein, verse 20, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The life figure, what? Water. Whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So one becomes a Christian when they are water baptized for the remission of all their past sins, according to you are obedient to the will of God. God adds you, as I said in Acts 2:47, to the church. You are then saved from your sin. There's someone today, get with the person that invited you to the call, and my hope and my prayer is that you would obey God and become a Christian. Thank you very much for allowing me to preach God's word on today.